All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Scooter 8887 is on. PD Frank 1974 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Mike Griffith is on. Lady Vu is on. Robin Aroni's on. Lisa Kinzer's on. Phil McCracken's on. Ferrison 77 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Mike Griffith's on. Judy Anita's on. Dave Souders is on. Wisconsin Honey Badger is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Gurdum is on. Chopper Supernut is on. JD Wool's on. Craig Nine Mon is on. Ellie is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Snarl Barkley is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Clean Sanchez is on. Spoken 007 is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Tony Nuthead is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Scrolling down. 11 Carl 11 is on. Scrolling down. Luann 5 is on. Todd Suff is on. Let me see if I missed it. DC 9941 is on. Let me see here. S. Clark 1968 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Confederate 1 is on. Spaz 64 is on. Charlie 340 is on. DK Jackson is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Gucci Buckeye's on. Butterfly Creation is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down, scrolling down. Bill F1 is on. Lita Bonita is on. All right, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Got to show you this because it's such big news. I don't like covering this stuff. It's the helicopter crash in New York. It's a New York Post video. Six people died. Three out of the six were kids. It appears to have been a chartered helicopter from people visiting from Spain. That's all that I've heard so far. It's not a lot. There's not a lot of politics involved in it, but it's such big news, you have to show it. So anyway, New York Times, correction, New York Post video, titled Distressing Video. Play for me, Will. So there you go. Just showing it to you. That's a sad, sad deal. Six people died, four people on scene, and then they brought two people to the hospital, and they died once they got to the hospital. The rotors and tail section are gone. I don't have any idea what happened to that helicopter. Very strange. Never seen it before. I've seen helicopters struggling to stay in the air. People die, but it's rotor, entire rotor section and tail gone. I don't know how that even happens. I have no idea. The owner of the helicopters come out and just said, yeah, has no clue what happened. So it's very, very weird, very, very, very sad, but I had to show it. It's barely the biggest news of the day because not many of us have ever seen this before. So anyway, just a sad, sad thing. All right, let's change this up now. Let's go to Department of Government Efficiency, which is kind of the title of tonight's show, the Doge Effect. More and more just keeps coming out. It's so bad. It is all so bad. Some people are starting to come out and put out social media posts of, even if Trump had this many years, that many years, we don't know if we can clean it up. It's all a matter of will. It can easily be cleaned up if everybody's just willing to simply cut. Of course, when you have, and it's weird. I think if you got down to rudimentary Democrats, and I'm not talking, none of them are sane. I'm just saying rudimentary Democrats that are not living in the Beltway, if you actually talk to them about these things, they'd find them to be horrendous. But their representatives want to continue on with these expenditures. They want to continue to spend our taxpayer dollars like this. And just wait till we get to the Pentagon in a minute. It's absolutely ridiculous because all our country is about, and you're like, Tom, we've heard this over and over from you. Well, listen, it needs to be drilled down deep into everybody's skulls. All our country is about is creating organizations to enrich Democrats. That is really it. That is it. I mean, the consultancy fees coming out of the Pentagon to be consulted to do what exactly? I mean, it's absolutely astronomical. I don't want to get ahead of myself because the Pentagon is next. So here's Department of Government Efficiency. An initial survey of unemployment insurance claims. And by the way, if you file a false unemployment insurance claim, what is that? Felonious freaking fraud. And if you did it in a federal way, it is a federal crime. And listen, there are politicians and there are staffers, and there are people running organizations need to spend the rest of their life in prison. Look at these numbers. This is just since 2020. This is just a deep dive for the last 5 years. Initial survey of unemployment insurance claims since 2020 revealed the following. 24.5 thousand people in 5 years over the age of 115, the oldest person in America is 114, claimed $59 million in benefits.
Jeez.
Those are unemployment. We've already talked about. No. That was Social Security. This is now people filing for unemployment. $59 million went to people over the age of 115 just in the last 5 years alone. What's amazing to me is you'll hear Democrats say, and rhinos behind closed doors, they're threatening our norms. If this is your norm, then your norm needs to be threatened. They're threatening our institutions. If this is what your institutions put out, then your institutions need to be threatened. I mean, imagine wanting to defend this. Imagine that. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You're going to come out and defend this. Make anybody you debate with, have them tell you the particulars of what they're defending. Elon Musk is destroying our democracy. He's destroying our institutions. Good. If that's our institutions, good. It's very good that he's destroying our institutions. What gives them any measure of credibility? That they're not worthy of being destroyed. I'm talking about hurting people. I'm talking about institutions. Let's go to the next line. 28,000 people between the ages of 1 and 5 claimed $254 million in unemployment benefits as a one-year-old. And again, these people come up to podiums like Pelosi, like Schumer, like Jasmine Crockett, and they claim, or The View, we don't want Elon Musk seeing our private data. If seeing our private data reveals this, see all the private data you want to see. You can see all of my private data. Because I guess protecting our private data led to this. And by the way, the people who are already seeing your private data are just normal, everyday citizens who either do or do not even have college degrees. It doesn't matter. They're seeing it every day anyway. Why can't Elon Musk see it? At least he has a top secret security clearance.
Right.
He has a compartmented top secret security clearance because he's building our rockets and just rescued two astronauts. So $254 million. I didn't know that people worked when they were one. I know. You got Caleb signed up, Aaron? Because he should be working sometime in the next 6 months.
He's in the mines.
He needs to be in the mines working. So, because Aaron's got a 6-month-old or coming up 5-month-old. But anyway, so 28,000 people. Ages 1 to 5 received $254 million in benefits. And that's the last 5 years. What has the last 25 years looked like? 9.7 thousand people with birth dates over 15 years in the future. They hadn't been born yet. So somebody born in, let's say, 2040. 15 years in the future. So minimum 2035. People wrote down on an unemployment claim that they were born in 2035, 2036, 2041, and received money from the federal government. That's how great the federal government is, and the Democrats want to defend it. The Democrats consider it a grievous threat to take apart our governmental norms. As if, again, Joe Rogan was talking about this. If things were great, you know, and there was pure, and there was we had a $37 trillion surplus. Then I'd be like, you know what? The government does a pretty good job. Every veteran has made a millionaire because their leg was blown off by an improvised explosive device. They've all been made multi-million. Okay, great. I'm fine. So that veteran living homeless on the street, that's fine. Okay, the government does great. Every single medical need is met. Whatever it may be, government's doing great. I don't believe in socialized medicine. I believe in a social safety net. Great. But is our government functioning well? Is there any evidence that it does well? Then again, and the Democrats assign the term expert to the people that run these agencies. We should leave it to the experts. This is what the experts produce. And you're not allowed to attack the experts? In one case, someone with a birthday in 2154 claimed $41,000. Is that person in federal prison? Because every single, and by the way, all of this is easily trackable. It all went to somebody's bank account because nobody's writing checks. This is all digitized. So it went to somebody's bank. Very easy to track. All these people need to go to federal prison for years. Go to the next one for me, Will. So here's where it all went. California, what a shock. What a shock. It ends up in predominantly blue states. What a shock. The blue state. No wonder they want to defend it. That's why Democrats are so uptight. And they want to defend these governance norms because they're receiving money from it. California, New York, and Massachusetts accounted for most of these improper claims, totaling $305 million in unemployment claims. That's just in the last 4 years. Additionally, because 2025 doesn't count, so it's 2020, it's 5 years. So 2020 through 2024. Additionally, California accounted for 68%. We've covered this on the podcast before. Of the unemployment benefits paid to parolees identified by CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, on the terrorist watch list. So California made sure that they paid, I don't want to say they, because guess it's not they. You know, Anderson Cooper and Bernie Sanders got mixed up an obese female called the obese female she, and she's a they, them. So I'm going to make sure we get our pronouns correct here, because it's not they, California, that paid for it. You and I made sure that California had the money via our $37 trillion debt and our 20 to 40% of our paychecks being stolen every week. California accounted. Imagine that again. This is what Joe Rogan was talking about. If you have 20 to 40% of your check being taken, which I have since the age of 18, I'm 56. So all those years, 20 to 40% of my paycheck has been stolen for this so that Democrats can enrich themselves. That's all this country's about. Creating organizations and government agencies to enrich themselves by paying themselves six-figure, seven-figure salaries. By creating an agency that does nothing. Does absolutely nothing except study how to create another agency for Democrats to be fully staffed at. That's all they do.
Yeah.
68% of the unemployment benefits paid to parolees. Those are people that Joe Biden paroled into this country. 495,000 convicted criminals. 30,000 convicted rapists and murderers were all just loud in the country, and their benefits were paid through California by Will, by Aaron, by me, and by you. That's the current status of our country. All right, let's go to the next one. I'm going to go in and out of opposition. Now, instead of doing an entire opposition section, I'm going to go in and out. Now, Hakeem Strike One Jeffries, he wants to continue on doing what we're doing. Because you know what? It's great when 1 to 5 year olds receive $254 million in unemployment benefits. Hakeem thinks that's a great thing. And if you dare attack it, that means you're attacking our democracy. That you're attacking our expertise. Yes, I am attacking your expertise because your expertise is actually inverted. Your expertise is abject stupidity. So here's Hakeem Jeffries with Anderson Cooper. Play for me.
Trump promised that he would lower costs, in fact, on day one. But what we've seen under his reckless leadership is that costs aren't going down in America. They're going up. Inflation is going up.
Breaking moments ago, brand new numbers showing inflation fell last month. Much better than expected.
So this was actually a drop of 0.1%, negative 0.1%. That's the first time we've seen that since COVID. Year over year, the annual inflation rate was at 2.4%. This was also better than expected and a six-month low, moving in the right direction.
Biggest drop, or actually the first drop at all in inflation since COVID. Actually negative inflation, because people often think, oh, you know what? Last month, the inflation rate was 3%. Now it's 1%, so things are going to get cheaper. Is that true? That's like saying if you pass somebody, if you're running in a race and you pass the person in first and second place, what place are you in? You're in second place. You're not in first place. You didn't gain the spot. You think most people say they're in first place. So people think, okay, well, inflation was 3%. Now it's 1%. That must mean items are now cheaper. No, items have gone up a total of 4%. They've not gone down. Now, Trump has taken it to negative inflation.
Yeah.
For the first time since COVID, so prices are actually coming down. Not coming down at a slower rate. Not coming down at a faster rate. Not coming down at any rate, but actually going down. So what was a dollar is now 95 cents. That sort of thing. That's the first thing. What Hakeem just said, You said, but 1 week before he said that all the prices were going up. Listen, these people are not like you and I. They're just not. They will say anything because they are political whores. They will say anything. They have no self-respect, no dignity whatsoever, no integrity, no human dignity. They will just lie. You're like, just lie, even though it's easily proven that it's not true? Yes. Aaron, can you cue up the tape of Hakeem Jeffries with his retraction statement?
Nope.
There aren't any. There is no retractions from Democrats ever.
Yeah.
There's not one time a Democrat has ever come out and said, you know what? I said that prices were going up. That's what he said. April 3rd, prices are going up. April 7th, first negative inflation numbers we've gotten since COVID. He knew that already when he was lying that that was the case. He knew it. He has access to all this data. So he's just a bold-faced liar, right to the camera, seamlessly with demonic conviction. He just lies right to the camera. Gavin Newsom's probably the best. That's why he's the most biggest threat. So it's just bold-faced lies. All right, let's go to the next one. So let's go to Doge and the Pentagon now. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth video. Play it for me.
All right, we're back with another update on cutting wasteful spending here at DOD. And this one is, as they say, a big one. This is a big day. We're signing a memo right now directing the termination of $5.1 billion in DOD contracts. Not million, that's with a B. $5.1 billion in DOD contracts for ancillary things like consulting and other non-essential services. So here's a few examples. DHA contracts for consulting services from Accenture, Deloitte, Booz Allen, and other firms. They're going to save the department $1.8 billion. How about a software reseller contract for enterprise cloud IT services, saving the department $1.4 billion. A $500 million Navy contract for business process consulting. Again, process, lots of consultant for administrative offices in the Bureau of Medicine. By the way, we need this money to spend on better health care for our warfighters and their families instead of $500 an hour business process consultant. That's a lot of consulting. How about this? A DARPA contract for IT help desk services that are completely duplicative with services already provided by our DISA workforce, saving the department another $500 million. We're also terminating on the DEI front 11 more contracts for DEI, climate, COVID-19 response, and related non-essential activities across the department. We are committed to rooting out DEI root and branch throughout this department, and we found 11 more contracts, and we're going to keep looking. So that's $5.1 billion in DOD contracts we're getting rid of. On top of that, in support of the president's priorities to stop federal funding for academic institutions that tolerate anti-Semitism and support divisive DEI programs, this week, DOD is also pausing over $500 million in funding to Northwestern University and Cornell University. And that's on top of the $70 million in funding we've already paused at Columbia, Penn, Brown, and Princeton over the last few weeks, as if any of these institutions need more government money at all. So for your keeping score at home, today's cuts bring our running total to nearly $6 billion in wasteful spending over the first 6 weeks of the DOD DOGE effort here at the Defense Department.
So over the first 6 weeks, they've cut $1 billion a week off of the DOD budget. And a lot of people, again, and this is where Republicans will either poop or get off the pot, because you're going to have to be able to stand up and say, we need to cut our defense budget. I mean, it's $900 billion. And just so everybody knows, and again, I don't agree with the last budget that was signed at all. I stand alone with Aaron and say we stand with Thomas Massey. There's all sorts of reasons to do it, to facilitate DOGE and all those different things. But eventually, you have got to say no more spending. But we passed another CR all the way through October, which maintenance, the current Biden spending rates on everything. But, and again, I don't agree with it. Trump was all for it. He has his reasons. People think that it's 4D chess. To a degree, it is. There are pluses and minuses to doing it, but you gotta, at some point, say no more spending. We're spending $1 million every 19 seconds our federal government, not us, I shouldn't say us, our representatives, right there, we can do it. Oh, there it is, right there. You can just count it, right there. I mean, you can see it. If we go, we started at 131 million. If we started the clock, right there, watch, Aaron started. Well, here we go. And there we go. 130, so Aaron started the clock. 36,709,131,000,000. As soon as it turns to 132 million, I guarantee it will be between 19 and 22 seconds. And you're like, why hasn't that changed? Because we're still spending at Biden levels because we passed the CR to do so. What was it, Aaron?
21 seconds.
21 seconds. Every 21 seconds.
Yeah.
It's 19 to 22 seconds. So we'll just go right there in the mean. Every 21 seconds, we're spending $1 million. The federal government is spending $1 million. At some point, this comes to an end. And what's amazing to me is all these people are like up on Capitol Hill. We passed the CR. We have a political win. What does a political win mean if you yourself are bankrupt? And I'm talking to Mike Johnson. I'm talking to Hakeem Jeffries. Just you think that if you bankrupt America through our devaluation of the dollar through this debt and hyperinflation, that Aaron's broke, Will's broke, I'm broke, and you're not? You're part of the same system. It should be for self-preservation. Alex Jones talks about it. People want to call, you know, he tells people, don't call me a hero. Don't, I'm doing this for self-preservation. You should, for self-preservation, want to stop spending these dollars. So bring it back to me. So anyway, back to the Department of Defense. So we're going to have to be able to go ahead and step on the golden horse and say that we don't need to spend. It doesn't mean one needed military member loses his job. Not one soldier, not one Marine, not one warfighter ever loses their job. Matter of fact, we need to add warfighters. We need to add warfighters and get rid of all of our woke, ridiculous programs and our bases that are set up by the military-industrial complex so that our soldiers are in harm's way, so that somebody shoots at them, which gives us an excuse to shoot off more rounds of whatever so that we can get more funding to the military-industrial complex. So what's going on? We purposely put our soldiers in harm's way so that a Houthi will fire upon them and give us an excuse to go into a six-week war, which costs $500 million a day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good. If you're Lockheed Martin, if you're Honeywell, that's a good month.
Yeah.
$500 million a day, that's a pretty good month. We don't need bases in ridiculous areas. We don't need them in what we have them in ridiculous areas, and we give them up in strategic areas. Bagram Air Force Base, you're like, Tom, get off of that horse. Never, never. I'm never getting off that horse. We desert Bagram Air Force Base. That's 300 miles from the Chinese border in Afghanistan, which is a completely and totally defensible base. It is impenetrable. You cannot take over Bagram Air Force Base. You can't. With any weapon. You can't. There's just no way to take it. You can be seen with all the military technology, especially American military technology. You can't be seen. It cannot be taken. Right there. Right there. I mean, it's a beautiful, huge, you can land anything there. You could have, it wouldn't just be Bagram Air Force Base. You could station 25,000 Marines there. You could put anybody you wanted there. Easily supplied all the time. It is, I'm trying to think of it, impenetrable, but it cannot be defeated. It is just basically a Helm's Deep. It cannot be defeated. But instead, those things get closed and useless things get open. How about you know, we increase the pay for military so our own military people are not on the SNAP program? How does that sound? That a sergeant in the Marine Corps doesn't have to be in a SNAP program to pay for his wife and two kids. When I'm talking about cutting money, I'm not talking about cutting soldiers. I'm not talking about R&D. I'm not talking about equipment. I'm talking about ridiculousness that was named here in these budget cuts.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to take that down from $900 billion. But here's the thing. It's just got to increase to a trillion in the CR. So now we're going to have to start at a trillion because we passed this ridiculous CR. And every Republican but Thomas Massie voted for it, including Trump. And Trump is the greatest president in history. Just, I don't agree with him on that. Simple as that. Those are the kind of people you need in the room that love you, but will tell you when they disagree with you. So just think about this. Just here's the numbers from Pete Hegseth. Isn't it great to see Pete Hegseth in charge of the military? I mean, isn't it great? Instead of Lloyd Austin, with his N95 and a spit shield on. Isn't it great to actually see a guy who could jog a half a mile? Isn't that great to be able to see somebody who could actually do more than, I mean, I was going to say more than one pull-up, but we all know Lloyd Austin could never do one. He's not going to pull 300 pounds over that bar. Lloyd Austin hasn't done anything physical in his life with the exception of getting up out of his desk to go to the candy machine in 30 years. And I mean, White Rage Millie, I mean, what can White Rage Millie do except for give himself another ribbon? Let's see, what kind of ribbon is this? I'm going to give myself the Eater of the Day ribbon. There you go. I see these guys, never fought in a war. They've got ribbons down here. You look at Dwight D. Eisenhower's picture and military men from World War II and even Will Zara. They've got like 3-4 ribbons. And somehow Millie, who's never stepped foot in a combat zone in his life, outside of the way Tim Walz has. Yeah, look, thank you. Look at that. What did he do for all that? What did he do? I would love to know. I would love to know. But that's military's been nothing but political for a long time. So anyway, those expenditures, consulting, $1.8 billion for consulting. Were they the consultants at Abbey Gate? I'm just curious. Software, redundant software, $1.4 million that you don't need. Not only do they have consulting for whatever, general consulting, then you have specific Navy consulting at $500 an hour. I think we need more ships. There's $500. $1.8 billion for Navy consulting. An IT, $500 million, half $1 billion for an IT help desk that was duplicative. And they already had one.
Yeah.
It's just like all those different software contracts that we have in all these different federal agencies. They had like 40 or 60. Aaron, what is that, Aaron? When you like sign up for software and you then
it's a
you,
license.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron. Yep. Software licenses.
Yep.
And they just, one, I don't know if one runs out or they just get another computer, so they get another license. You're supposed to have one license for all of your, for your entire system inside of your office. Go, Aaron.
Yeah, they had like multiple, instead of, like you said, you can buy a group license, right, which covers your whole department. They had multiple group licenses and weren't using most of them.
Yeah, right. Right. So what would happen is someone would get a new computer, they get another license. Yeah. Someone would get another computer, get another license. Oh, but it doesn't matter because it's Will's money. It doesn't matter. It's Will's money.
Yeah.
Will loves when he looks down at his paycheck, and so do I, when you go down there and you see 30% going to FICA. Which I'm starting to think that F doesn't mean what it says on there. So they cut $500 million that was going to Northwestern University in Cornell. To basically Ivy League, although Northwestern is part of pseudo, it's the Ivy League of the Big Ten. Cornell definitely is Ivy League. Why do they need $500 million from Will? From Aaron, from you, from me, to Cornell. Did you go to Cornell?
Nope.
Oh, I didn't either. Will?
Nope.
All right. I mean, either. Have you ever received anything from Cornell?
Nope.
Okay. So I'm just checking because you sent him $500 million.
Oh, good.
And by the way, like to go to each one of those universities, it's over $50,000 a year. So we are giving them money for what? To go to USC now, it's $81,000 a year to go to USC. And we're sending them money for what exactly? They may explain it to me. I can tell you why, because all this country is about is taking our tax revenue and finding a reason to give it to a Democrat to personally enrich them. That's it. And just forget about the welfare of the rest of us. Are there really any legitimate billionaires in this country, or are they all given taxpayer dollars to launch their businesses, to give them revenue to launch their businesses, or are their business like J.B. Pritzker managing 64 NGOs that receive hundreds of billions of dollars per year for free? I mean, everybody wanted, Hunter Biden is the living embodiment of what America is right now. Looting our system for personal enrichment. That's all that it is. $500 million going to two universities per year? Because it just had to be stopped now. And that's after Hegseth had already cut $70 million going to Columbia, Penn, Brown, and Princeton. The richest universities in the world are receiving checks from get this now, this isn't from USAID. This is coming from the Pentagon. Why is the Pentagon sending Northwestern, Cornell, Columbia, Brown, and Princeton our taxpayer dollars? Because even inside of the government, everything is now an NGO. The Pentagon is nothing more than a giant non-governmental organization that solely staffed by Democrats, is what it was prior to Trump. So those, again, even though it's not technically an NGO because an NGO is a non-government organization, but they're really all functioning as NGOs. And so the Pentagon is fully staffed by Democrats who float in and out of the military-industrial complex into the Pentagon. When they're in the Pentagon, they sign contracts to send money to Honeywell, and then they go on Honeywell's board. And then when the Democrat comes back in, they sign another 10-year contract for $500 billion to go to Honeywell, and then they're back on Honeywell's board and receiving $7, $8, $9 million a year to be on the board. That's all this country's about. It's all it's about. With the exception of the Trump administration and outliers like Ron DeSantis, that is all this country's about. Is Democrats finding a revenue stream to personally enrich themselves, and that revenue stream is all tax revenue. That's what it is. All right, let's go to the next one. Insurrection Barbie video. Is that where I'm at, Will?
Daily Caller.
Oh, Daily. Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. In and out of opposition. Now opposition. The last opposition was Hakeem Jeffries. Now this opposition is a woman by the name of Tiffany Cross, who just got fired as an MSNBC host. Do you know what it takes to get fired as an MSNBC host? She got fired because she was actually too racist. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, she's black, so she's racist against white people. She was actually not palatable to the Morning Joe crowd. That's how bad she is. But she makes the mistake of going against Scott Jennings. Listen, if you're going to go against Scott Jennings, you need to be armed and ready. She wasn't. Daily Caller video. Play for me.
You cannot just go and say, I like it. It's mine now. Doesn't work that way. Well, that is what they're trying to do. And in this new world order, yeah, absolutely. When they're looking at Greenland and say, I like it. I want to take it for mine. That is a very colonized.
Scott, you have said you are.
I have never, ever said we're going to go to Greenland and, quote, colonize it or steal
about
it.
You. That's you're not crazy. A member of government, so you're irrelevant at that point. I'm talking about the president of the United States doing that.
You got fired from your job.
You can agitate.
I'm actually if you want to engage in person. Personal insults.
What
you lack in a legitimate point, you make up for in personal insults. The point I am making is in this new world order, we are looking at countries, whether or not they're an adversary or ally, it is being determined on what kind of deal we can get. And we cannot govern. We cannot legislate that way. We are increasingly isolated on the world stage.
No,
so if you want to engage in personal
insults,
if I were you, I would reserve that for your party, who
we're
is increasingly isolated.
How many
position
outside of the United States.
So that to me is a hysterical video. I saw a couple things in the chat, caught my eye. Skunk 71. I went to UCF in the work program. I'm a UCF graduate myself. There's only 21,000 people there when I graduated. 67,000 now go there. It's absolutely crazy. Tim L. T-Bird had to bring some correction to me. He said, but black people can't be racist. good point. You know, peace us. Pastor Tom's fired up. I'm always fired up, but yeah, I'm a little. Some things just absolutely just chap my hide. Which Aaron just sent me some more information. Then I'm gonna get back to Scott Jennings here. Here's the endowment programs. And remember, we're sending money to these universities through the Pentagon. It's almost as if we have kind of an international sort of spy ring or indoctrination system going on through the Pentagon. Yeah. Anybody thinks Pentagon's pure, that must mean you think the CIA is pure and the FBI also. Harvard University, these are their endowments that they sit on. This isn't what they get every year. This is what they have already. Harvard, $52 billion. University of Texas, $47 billion. Yale University, $41.4 billion. Stanford University, $37.6 billion. Princeton University, where we had just sent Aaron.
Yep.
Pentagon money to the tune of somewhere between like 20, 30 million was sent through the Pentagon to Princeton. And Princeton's already sitting on an endowment of $34.1 billion. You know what the interest is every year on these endowments? They don't even need to charge tuition just on the interest off these endowments.
Right.
MIT, $24.6 billion, total $237.2 billion endowments. So back to the Tiffany Cross, the opposition, I'm going in and out of opposition. And when I say in and out of opposition, I want to show you who's opposing us. Tiffany Cross definitely is our competition. So she goes and she says to Scott Jennings, you're not a member of the government, so you're irrelevant. And so he just simply retorts back, you just got fired from your job. How relevant are you? And she goes, well, if you're going to personally attack me, who started the personal attacks? It'd be like, again, if someone comes up and kicks me in the nads, and then I return fire by kicking them in the nads, and they go, you just kicked me in the nads. How dare you? I'm like, do you see me on the ground holding my nads? You just kicked me. I mean, yeah. That's how childish these. It's not even child. I don't know. You know what? I just defame children. I just defame children because children are far better than Democrats. Because a child would know. Will's got two kids. I've got two kids. When our kids fight, because they do. Well, mine are adults now, but his are still young. When they fight or they argue, they even know who started it. They know. I'm not going to say his kids' names, but they know. If his son started it, his son would say he started it. And wouldn't be wondering if he went and slapped his sister and his sister slapped him back. He wouldn't go, why did you slap me? Because he's smart. How old is he now?
Nine.
He's nine. He would know better. But not Tiffany Cross. If we're going to get into personal insults, he goes, I'm not. You are. You started it, you idiot. Because they're so spoiled. Because she has been so encapsulated. She's been so insulated by the fear of racism. See, I'm not afraid. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care what you identify as. If you're an ignoramus, you're going to get treated like one. I don't care what you are. I don't care what you look like. Big, fat, tall, thin. I don't care. Trans, non-trans, gay, straight, black, white, whatever it may be. If you're an ignoramus, I'm coming at you. You can call me whatever name you want to call me. And until America and until Republicans have that attitude, we ain't going to win. Who has that attitude? The man sitting in the White House. That's who has that attitude. It's why he's the greatest president that we've ever had. And I'm not saying that for any other reason except I believe he's the greatest president we've ever had. But it doesn't mean he's perfect. But listen, know who amongst us is. So I just love it. She's just so insulated. She's so used to being able to say whatever she wants to say. And nobody says anything back. Because if you do, you're going to be called a racist. Go ahead. I'm already labeled all that stuff anyway. I don't care. You can label me whatever it is that you want to label me. I don't even care. Because right out of Galatians, it's Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I'm not looking to please any person, black, white, gay, straight. I don't care what it is. If you're gay, I'm going to tell you, listen, things don't line up. You shouldn't be committing whisker on whisker crime. That's a fact. Sorry. That's the way it is. If you're a woman identifying a man or as a man identifying a woman, I'm going to tell you to your face, you're wasting your time. You're living a lie. To your face. If you insult me, I'm not necessarily going to insult you back. But if you insult me and then I happen to insult you back and you go, how dare you insult me? I'm going to simply give you the logical truth, which is you started it. You obviously wanted it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You sowed the insult. What do you get back, Aaron?
Insult.
You get an insult right back.
Yep.
So there you go. All right, let's go to Insurrection Barbie. This is huge. This is a big story. This really is big. Most of you probably already seen it. It's a day or two old. Because I saw it for yesterday. I think I had it lined up for the podcast, but I didn't get to it. But anyway, Insurrection Barbie video. This is a Meta. Is it Meta, Aaron?
Meta.
Yep. I refuse almost to call it that. For me, it's Facebook. It's like I've never gotten. I just can't say X. It's Twitter. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Meta. So Meta whistleblower talking about the collaboration between Zuckerberg and China. Play it for me.
My name is Sarah Wynne Williams, and I served as the director of global public policy at Facebook, now Meta, for nearly 7 years, starting in 2011. Throughout those 7 years, I saw Meta executives repeatedly undermine U.S. national security and betray American values. They did these things in secret to win favor with Beijing and build an $18 billion business in China. We are engaged in a high-stakes AI arms race against China. And during my time at Meta, company executives lied about what they were doing with the Chinese Communist Party to employees, shareholders, Congress, and the American public. I sit before this committee today to set the record straight about these illegal and dangerous activities. Meta's dishonesty started with a betrayal of core American values. Mark Zuckerberg pledged himself a free speech champion. Yet I witnessed Meta work hand in glove with the Chinese Communist Party to construct and test custom-built censorship tools that silenced and censored their critics.
All right, so what needs to be deep dived into by Kash Patel's FBI, along with Dan Bongino, is these censorship tools that were crafted in collaboration, cooperation with the CCP. Were they used against Americans? We all know already that Facebook, imagine this, imagine being an American. And this is why you have Veronica 182, Veronica 18, what is it, 1820, 18201. Thank you for the scripture. Here comes another one for you in a second. But well, here it is right now. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle. So you got there, that is 1 Timothy 6:10, Proverbs 23:5. But anyway, so just imagine you're an American and you are working on a system with the CCP. There's two parts to this. CCP to identify violators in China. That's what they were doing. They wanted to be, they had a censorship system in China where if somebody violated it, they got turned directly in to the PLA. And you as an American CEO works with a dictatorship, and then you advocate for fighting against dictatorship in Ukraine, and Ukraine's not even a democracy. You're like, Tom, none of this makes, it's because it's all about the love of money. It's the root of all evil. So that's what he did, part one. That's against the Chinese people, Lao Beijing. Then well, you need to look into, did he commit treason by coming up with censorship tools to use with the CCP, collaborating with, Aaron, collaborating with the CCP. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah.
You just sound very familiar. The Wuhan Institute of Virology, mm-hmm. Gain of Function Research, Ralph Baric, Chinese Academy of Sciences, Wuhan Institute of Virology, Peter Daszak, EcoHealth Alliance, Ralph Baric out of UNC, Dr. Lee, the Bat Lady, all of them, remember that all ring a bell? Collaborating with a foreign entity to create bioweapons? And now you're going to collaborate with a foreign entity to create censorship weapons, potentially, against Americans? Is that how we ended up getting banned? Were they CCP censorship tools? Was because in my second week of this podcast, we had 900 people watching live on Facebook alone. And then a week later, we had 14.
Yeah.
Because they sent it to us. We were banned. I haven't been able to add a friend on Facebook. Zuckerberg's in there bootlicking Trump and butt-kissing Trump and showing up at UFC and talking about free speech. And I was used by the FBI. But yet right now, Aaron can tell me, how many people we got watching on Facebook?
30.
30 people. I have 30,000 followers. I got 30 people watching. I got one every 10,000.
Weird.
One every 1,000. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, and again, the first week of the podcast, we had 900.
Yeah.
We had more people watching on Facebook alone than I do right now. At that time that I can see, we have Christian Television Network right now, so I don't know how many people are actually watching, but 872 that I can see that are watching. So anyway, I mean, that needs to be found out. And if he did do that, he needs to be criminally charged for it. All right, let's go to the next. I could talk about that all night. More on Trump here. All right, Johnny Midnight video. Another whistleblower, different genre. Whistleblower emails confirm a criminal conspiracy between the Biden White House. This right here is what you call conspiracy against rights. Look up Mike Davis. Conspiracy against rights, which is a federal felonious crime. Between a criminal conspiracy between the Biden White House and the FBI Washington field office, prosecutors from the U.S. Attorney's Office, Washington, D.C., that's Jack Smith, and Jack Smith to plan. So you have Jack Smith, special prosecutor, the FBI, and the White House planning, approving, and executing Arctic Frost, it was called, with the intent to frame, arrest, prosecute, and imprison Donald Trump. These people, what I guess they don't realize is that you can't get rid of every record. And even the ones you thought you got rid of, like they did with the Institute of Peace, where they were sending money to Hamas, and they deleted. Ever heard of a guy named Elon Musk? He gonna find it. If he doesn't find it, big balls will. So they're gonna find it. So this is all now coming up. And that is patently illegal. It is called a conspiracy against rights, where you have a conspiracy to remove the rights of Americans. And that's what happened. John Solomon, play for me.
Senator Johnson, Senator Grassley just sent this to me a little bit ago while we're on air. It's a major development. You're taking a look at a letter right there that was just sent to the FBI Director Kash Patel and the Attorney General Pam Bondi. What does it say? It says that Congress has obtained evidence that shows that the Biden White House was directly involved in trying to help start Jack Smith's investigation on the January 6th probe against President Trump. Specifically, that the White House Counsel's Office secretly obtained President Trump's and Vice President Mike Pence's former phones and giving them to the prosecutors, basically sicking the Justice Department on his future competitor, his future rival in the 2024 election, so that they could look for dirt for possible crimes. There's a lot more coming in. There's a lot of other evidence as well of the White House involvement. Remember, 2 years ago, we were the first news agency, right here, Real America's Voice, Just the News, to report that a White House counsel was directly involved with this investigation. Now, more details, including getting, imagine this, you're the Democrat president, and you go get the old Republican's phone for your prior president and send it to the Justice Department. That's what Senators Johnson and Grassley were able to confirm tonight. It's in that letter. Keep an eye on justthenews.com. We're going to get you up to speed on that all throughout the night. A lot more development.
So I covered most of that, but that one, the part in the end is unbelievable. So you, the Biden administration, because Donald Trump, everybody gets, it's actually a military op. The military runs the communications coming in and out of the White House. The military does. Not the Secret Service, the military. So you actually get a military phone. That is shielded, guarded. What would you call it, Aaron? Where you have it's protected from outside, scammers and hackers and hack-proof phone.
Yeah, encrypted.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. That's why you're here, brother. You have a military level encryption phone.
Yep.
Okay. Now, obviously, there's only so many of those. And guess what happens when you leave office? You obviously turn it back in. Biden went and got Pence's, which probably has a bunch of. I don't know. I was going to say horrible, nasty. It's good. I don't know. I got to be careful. I got to be careful. I've been really good. I've been, in my own eyes, I've been really good about not saying things I shouldn't say. Because we're pretty edgy. We're pretty edgy for our church. Very edgy. I don't ever cuss. I mean, I don't do any of those things. I'm just telling you that we're pretty edgy. So I was going to say some horrible things about what was on Mike Pence's phone. Honestly, probably a bunch of bent over pictures of Dylan Mulvaney. But anyway, I'll leave it at that. But anyway, on Pence's phone. So anyway, so Biden goes over. Biden attorneys go over and confiscate Pence's and Trump's phones and hand them to Jack Smith. Hand them over to the FBI and the special counsel. That is a conspiracy against rights. And this is the Pandora's box that the Democrats want to open and make this legal. That's perfectly fine. Because now, you know what, Aaron, what does Donald Trump have access to? Can imagine it. He has access to the business phones of Kamala. Give me Trump, yeah. Kamala.
Kamala.
She's got Kamala's phone and Joe Biden's phone. He's got it.
Sleepy Joe. Yeah,
Sleepy Joe. He's got Sleepy Joe's phone. Imagine what's on those phones. Imagine what's on those phones.
I finally found the name.
Oh, here we go. Oh, the White House Communications Agency, kind of like WICA, they call it WHCA, a component of the Defense Information System, DISA, and under the Department of Defense, military.
Yep.
So that's who has the phones. So Donald Trump can do the exact same thing now. Matter of fact, I'd love to see what was on Biden's phones. Probably a bunch of pictures of applesauce and pudding and people taking naps, whatever it may be, along with Hunter's pornography and child porn. But anyway.
And his daughter.
Yeah, pictures of his daughter, but whatever. So, yeah, showering pictures with his daughter, but whatever. So who knows what's on Biden's phone. But anyway, this is the Pandora's box you want to open, where every time you have a transition in the Oval Office, you take that phone and hand it to a special prosecutor. Aaron, does that sound like a banana republic? Is that what we've done? Has that ever been done before? No, of course, we've never had a former president's residency raided by the FBI either. Never had any of those things. All right, let's go to the next one. Go and do two border slides here. Libs a TikTok tweet. U.S. Senator Ashley Moody, someone who took over Rubio's spot here in Florida, introduced a bill to deny student visas to Chinese nationals after China passed a law requiring every Chinese national to report back on intelligence they've gathered. So China comes out and publicly says that they've ordered their students to steal IP and everything else they can steal while they're here. And we actually have to pass a bill to kick them out of the country. And people, whether it's Schumer or whether it's any Democrat, claim some sort of level of government efficiency. If you have a foreign entity, a communist country, your number one geopolitical threat, China, telling their students that you've allowed in the country, talk about Trojan horse, that you've allowed into the country, they've told their students to spy and to send back all that information like a giant Biden balloon, send it back, transmit it back to China. Why does a bill need to be passed?
Right.
Why aren't they just all right now kicked out of the country? What? I'm going to just tell you everybody's secret here. China doesn't leave their best here. They educate them here. They steal as much IP as they possibly can. And then they go back to China. This has been going. If you listen to Kevin O'Leary and everybody else, that's the entire Chinese culture, is to set up a partnership with the United States of some sort. Like just a symbolic partnership of allowing their students. How many of our students go to Beijing? Statistically speaking, zero. Goes to Beijing University. No, they all come over here. It's been going on for years. They set up a partnership with us, steal all of our IP, and then resell us the products at a 30% rate cut. It's the exact same product. Make sure you stick around for the postgame because you've got to see the last video in the postgame with Steven Crowder. You got to see it. It's great. But anyway, why does this even need to be passed? I don't know. Hopefully Trump, being as great as he is, just says, you know what? Give me a China, Aaron.
China.
Every single student from China, out. Yeah. That's it. Why is everybody afraid? You're going to be called a racist. They're going to call you a racist anyway.
Right.
They're going to call you a racist anyway. If you preach the gospel, they're going to call you works-based. You're not full of grace and mercy. Oh, I'm just preaching the Bible. They'll get used to the names. Tom, just let me, 30, 40% of my church left during COVID because I lack compassion. Can you imagine anybody thinking I lack compassion? I don't lack compassion. I simply told you the truth about the disease. 99.997% survival and masks do nothing. Social distancing does nothing. The vax will kill you. All I did was tell people the truth. That's it. All right, let's go to the next one. I don't even know where on earth I am now.
Associated Press.
Oh, here we go. Associated Press. Still on the border. Breaking, federal judge allows Aaron, there, you know, that's my favorite thing. I can go on a 30-minute rant. Aaron doesn't think I need notes.
No.
All right, we can go on a 30-minute rant about the judicial system in this country. I'm not going to do it. But anyway, so a federal judge allows the Trump administration, so an unelected Democratic Party acolyte allows the Trump administration to require everyone in the United States illegally, allows them to register with the federal government. Now, you have to recognize a win is a win. But why does I can't. Okay, it's all right, here, I'll just say it. It's a win, okay? There, it's out.
Yeah.
All right, it's out. It's a win. Just like I tell people at church, okay, you're going to heaven. Now, can we get to the truth? So I've already acknowledged you're going to heaven. There you go. So now let's talk about your life. So anyway, so a federal judge tells the Trump administration that I'm going to allow you to pursue a program where every illegal has to register with the federal government. Why would they not already be registered? They're illegal. They committed a felony coming in the country. Don't buy into any of this stuff that you hear from Democrats because you've seen the Tom Holman congressional testimony where he names the statute where it is a crime to enter into this country. It's a civil offense. It's not a civil offense like a ticket. It is a felonious crime. So anyway, so now, but the thing is, a win's a win. Now in this country, Donald Trump has instituted that if you are illegal, you will register, minimum register. Here's the thing. I actually have I don't know what you'd call it. I wouldn't call it lenient in any way, shape, or form, but in a way lenient, as long as like people that are here right now, I'm talking about there's some great, great workers here. I'm not talking about the lazy sloths that are on the teat of the American social system. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those that are on welfare. They don't call it welfare. They call it farewell, whatever it is they call it. So that's what they always do. We can't teach CRT, but we can teach CRT. They keep catching Democrats making those videos. And I'm not talking about illegals that have come in and attached themselves to the teat of welfare in this country. I'm not talking about that. There's some that are busting up building stuff. I mean, like construction. I mean, busting up. And they've been here for years. Listen, I think you ought to be able to get a worker's visa. I'm fine with that. Because in all honesty, you know, if we kick out all of the illegals, our building industry will come, will slow. Believe me, I know. I've talked to people. Not to a person. That's just the way that it is. So so some moderation there. I'm fine with it. But you still have to, all of those people still have to register. I'm fine with it. So anyway, so again, this is the news. This is new. This is a big win, but we shouldn't have to have a win. There shouldn't be anything where, you know, you institute it, then a judge has to decide whether or not it's valid. So you win when you institute it, but you don't really win until the judge tells you that it's allowed. That should not be. The judicial has nothing to do with the executive. The judicial simply makes decisions about existing law. That's it. That's what they do. And that's the end of it. All right, back to opposition. Let's have a fun one here, shall we? Let's go to Jasmine Crockett. Ian Miles Chong video. Jasmine Crockett. Okay, you guys can run these consecutively. Just run after another. First video is Ian Miles Chong. Second video is Rapid Response 47. Jasmine Crockett says Americans can't afford groceries. What's the reason why? Can anybody guess? Because of illegal aliens are being deported. So you and I can't afford groceries, which, by the way, my grocery bill's gone down. Uh-huh. So that's fine. So she says, I can't afford groceries because illegal aliens are being deported. And then you go to Rapid Response video, CNN consumer prices month over month. So this was actually a drop of 0.1%. Play for me.
Realm. So I am telling you that this is a failed thing, but we've got to do better to connect the dots and let people know the reason you can't afford a home is because of these failed immigration policies. The reason you're not going to be able to afford your food is because of these failed immigration policies. And the same can go for the hospitality industries, where we have so many of those in the hospitality industry that are saying they do not have the workers that they need right now.
Consumer prices month over month. So this was actually a drop of 0.1%, negative 0.1%. That's the first time we've seen that since COVID. Year over year, the annual inflation rate was at 2.4%. This was also better than expected and a 6-month low, moving in the right direction. As far as why this happened, there's a few drivers. One thing that really played a role here, as you can see the trend here, the inflation rate dipping a little bit. One of the drivers was energy. The fact that gasoline prices did not move up like they usually do in the month of March, that really helped the inflation.
So let's use something that nobody ever uses outside of those of us that are on this podcast right now. And that is simple logic. So she says that she can't afford a house. So she used housing. Groceries are down. Housing's down. Gas is down. It's all down. If I get to it tonight, employment way up. 282,000 jobs added in March alone. Real jobs, not government jobs, real jobs. All the jobs you ever saw Biden added, whether they're phantom jobs or government jobs or jobs going to illegals. But anyway, she says that houses, she can't afford a house. That's what she says. People can't afford a house because of illegals being deported. So, Aaron.
Yes.
That must mean that housing was really affordable when they were allowing in 20 million illegals over the last 4 years, right? I mean, housing must have gone precipitously down.
Has to.
In affordance. Wrong. Because when Trump left office, average house was about 272,000. Average house under the Biden administration, 411,000. Huh. So, open borders actually mean housing increases because you're competing with another 20 million people for a house. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Not to mention all of the money you have to print for all of them to be on our various welfare systems. So you got to print all that money because I can't remember what Aaron used. I made him send it to me twice, but how much illegal immigration costs us every year? Hundreds of billions of dollars it was. So now do we have that in gold? No, we print it. So it causes inflation, which causes housing prices to go up. So what causes her not to be able to buy a house is her favorite president of all time, Joe Biden's open border policies. And the reason why housing pricing is starting to come down as our groceries and fuel and everything else is because the border has been closed. We don't have to print hundreds of millions of dollars each year for all of those illegals to go on welfare. Simple as that. All right, where the heck am I? All right, at Chicago Ray, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, at Chicago Ray video. It's actually from Fox News. Florida AG says Biden administration was stonewalling the investigation into Ryan Routh, just like they refused to go and rescue the astronauts. They refused to investigate Ryan Routh because we all know he's a CIA cutout. But anyway, so they were actually refusing to investigate the Ryan Routh case, the assassin down in South Florida. Play for me.
The state of Florida is charging failed Trump assassin suspect Ryan Routh with attempted first-degree murder and terrorism.
Dana Marie McNichol is live in Miami with the latest for us. Hey, Dana Marie.
Hey, Ainsley, good morning. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer says these charges of attempted murder and terrorism are a long time coming. He tells Fox News that Florida's investigation into Ryan Routh was delayed more than 200 days because of what he described as stonewalling by the Biden administration. Now, Uthmeyer says that Florida law enforcement, they had trouble even accessing the crime scene, and the Attorney General's office was met with major roadblocks in trying to prosecute this case. Here's what he told us.
We want a justice system that is willing to pursue justice no matter what party is in charge. And Joe Biden and the Democrats did everything they could to drag their feet and refuse to cooperate with the state of Florida. Under Attorney General Bondi and the Trump administration and our new FBI director, it's been a breath of fresh air, very different. They've been transparent, cooperative.
All right, so there you go. Now, that again needs to be investigated. Is anything going to happen? They're going to have some sort of plausible deniability. But bottom line, just like they refused to rescue the astronauts were supposed to be in space for 8 days. Elon Musk offered to rescue them in September of 24. When did he get them, Aaron? Was it March? This is March, right?
Yeah, I think it was just last month.
Yeah, I think it was just March, right? So they sat. And why didn't Joe Biden want them rescued in September? Because Elon Musk is the only one on Earth who has Falcon rocket technology. He's the only one that could rescue them, but Joe Biden couldn't have Elon Musk rescue them because it would be a political win, because obviously Elon Musk was Trump's number one political supporter. So he let them sit in space, which, by the way, has bad effect or affect on your body.
Oh, yeah.
Sit in space for all those months, weightless. So anyway, so you suppose there could have been rescued in August, September, but instead March, September, October, November, December, January, February, and part of March.
Yeah, March 18th.
Sat in space for, what was there?
March 18th.
Yeah, so basically 7 full months.
Yeah.
They sat there. And Elon even says longer than that. So it may have been 9 months, because I might be off of my dates on his original offer to rescue them. Just let him sit there for political expediency. Same thing here. You have an assassination attempt with a man sitting in a Kevlar shield. He had a whole shield of Kevlar around him. In the bushes, at one hole in front of Donald Trump, somehow the Secret Service misses I don't know how many rounds from inside 10 yards. But anyway, I mean, I just went shooting my pastor's Rodney R. Brown out of Tampa River Church, the one who got arrested for keeping his church open during COVID. And we just did a bunch of shooting the other day, probably shot, I don't know, 200 rounds each, something like that, at targets. We were all within 10 yards. We never missed a target. I mean, I did not have the grouping that I used to have. I haven't shot a gun in 7 years, because my last time I shot was in law for law enforcement. So anyway, but I never missed a freaking target. How do you miss? Will's laughing. You're 5 yards away and you can't hit a guy with a 9mm? Was your front sight shoved up your rectum? How did you miss it? But anyway, I digress. So anyway, it has not been investigated. But luckily, we have the greatest governor, in my opinion, in the history of America, Ron DeSantis, doing the investigation anyway. And now, with Cash Patel and Dan Bongino in charge of the FBI, they're actually doing something called a federal-local collaboration, which is what you're supposed to do. Aaron sent me the facts on the SpaceX. They launched on June 5th, 2024. Oh, wow, that was early.
Yeah.
So what was supposed to be an 8-day mission, but ended up staying for over 9 months. SpaceX, led by Elon Musk, was tasked with bringing them back. The plan to use SpaceX was in place since September. Oh, I got it right.
Yep.
So September 24th. So they were sat up there for 7 extra months. Imagine that. Oh, it's no problem. 7 extra hours. Maybe 7 days. Maybe a week. You know, maybe 2 weeks. No, how about 7 months? You just sit up there so that Joe Biden can make sure Kamala Harris gets elected president, and then she gets trounced anyway. Imagine what that feels like. And Elon can't do anything. He can't even get the Falcons ready, because that has to be at the command of who's currently in charge of the space program. He can't even get it ready. So they had to start getting him ready the moment that Donald Trump got elected. Because obviously space travel doesn't occur overnight. Not like you book a ticket and you go the next day. So it took him a couple months after that. That's why Elon probably said they could be rescued in September, because he probably had everything ready to rescue them in September. And then all of that stuff fell out of readiness in the months following while Kamala, give it to me, Aaron.
Kamala.
Ran for president. All right, so let's a couple more oppositions here. Let's go opposition Liz Warren. I haven't heard from Pocahontas in a while. Now, this is the Aaron side by side. There has our favorite title, Inside Jen Psaki. with Jen Psaki.
What a gross place to be.
I'm going to just tell you, if there's one place you never want to be, that's it. Ugh. Oh, wait, Aaron, do you have that video? See, you got the Erica video? How to say, yeah, okay, I got to show you this. Because this is what it would be like dating Jen Psaki. Play it for me. Here, see if you give me a freeze frame of her face. Oh, there it is right there. It's just, how many of you out there, you send it to me in the chat. How side by side.
Yeah.
How many of you know a woman like that? Right there. He blocked me online, so I guess he wants to see me in person. How many of you know a person like that right there? That's basically the entire Democratic Party. That's in the post game too, just so you know. But anyway, so here's Pocahontas, and it's May's video first from Trump, from Pocahontas. Trump has destroyed the stock market. Anybody notice how the stock market's been destroyed? Set a record yesterday. Set an absolute record. So she. From Trump has destroyed the stock market, quote, to Trump helping his rich friends. Which ones? Can you name for me? Again, it's like a CO2 argument. Explain to me where CO2 becomes problematic and why it's problematic. Before you shut down the entire world's economy, can you explain to me those two specific points? So is any of this true? Which rich friends and how much? And has he destroyed the stock market? Well, here's their own words. Play for me.
Comes in and basically starts the dumbest trade war in the history of this country. This is going to be about potentially millions of people losing their jobs. It's going to be about millions of people losing their savings, many of people losing their retirement security, and at the same time, taking on even higher costs for everything they buy. So that's going to push us in potentially to foreclosures or, people being pushed out of their apartments. You know, I remember this from 2008 and how long it took us to dig our way out. And to this day, there are families, there are communities that still haven't recovered. Recessions can be all those fancy charts and graphs, but at the end of the day, people feel them one person at a time, and they can be devastating.
We choose truth over facts.
Classic.
Remember that, Joe Biden? So, I mean, she goes, you can look at all those fancy charts and graphs, but she basically just says, I believe my heart above all things that are factual. That's just like a Christian saying, I believe something that's not the Bible. And you ought to be, it is written, or look at, take it out of biblical context. Why don't you actually read the graphs and establish in your mind that those are in fact true instead of your convoluted multi-million dollar feelings? She's a multi-millionaire worth $12 million on a $174,000 a year salary, somehow worth $12 million. She'd have to work for 150 years to accumulate that money. So she says that Trump has destroyed the stock market and the economy. Not that I've seen. Imagine going up to a podium, going on a show inside with Jen Psaki, and you actually come up and you say Trump has done something he's not done. Where's the accountability inside of her own party? There's no Democrats that's lost their jobs either outside of USAID. So she says she's destroyed the stock market. Well, here's yesterday. Put it up there for me, leading report tweet. Breaking, the Dow Jones just recorded its highest single-day gain in history. And she has the audacity to go on a talking head show and say that Trump has destroyed the stock market. Go to the next for me, rapper response 47. She says it's going to be foreclosures and everybody's going to lose their job. Here's from yesterday, too. Play for me.
This is a big March jobs report. Non-farm payrolls beats estimates, 228,000 jobs. That would be the strongest this year, and it would comp to 323,000 in D's of last year.
So just bold-faced, demonic liars who will just say whatever they think is expedient, is politically expedient, whatever is personally beneficial for themselves, that they will say. All right, that's it, guys. That's good. 9, 10, 15. All right, whoa, look at all the rants tonight. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you stick around for postgame. Don't leave. Don't leave. 1 minute from now, the postgame begins. Literally. Rumble Rants, Nate Dad won $100. Thank you so much. Texas Billy, $50. D9597, $50. Thank you so much. Producer Aaron, $20. Tony Nuthead, regular now, in the rant, $10. Gucci Buckeye, $10. Todd Suff, $10. Chopper Supernut, $5. Peace Us, $5. Thank you guys so much. Love you. Appreciate you. Love you guys in the rant. As I said, stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Stick around for it. You really will like it. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.